Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with each and every one of you today, as we are every day. Perceptive, smart audience, as always. That's why I enjoy talking to each and every one of you so often. Last night, the Nittany Lions won. It's been a great week for Penn State. Men's ice hockey team in overtime beat 16th-ranked Wisconsin at Cole 3-2. The men's basketball team last night beat 4th-ranked Michigan 84-78. Tonight, the Lady Lions can win the outright Big Ten championship at Minnesota. They can do so tonight. They have won at least a share. They can get the outright championship tonight. And the number one seed for the upcoming tournament. We know what wrestling's accomplished this year. Tomorrow, the Maxwell Award dinner will take place. Bill O'Brien and the Penn State football seniors are going to be honored tomorrow. A great week for Penn State. And a great week for Bucknell. Dave Paulson, our good friend, winning a third straight Patriot League championship, or a third Patriot League championship, and now the number one overall seed for the upcoming Patriot League tournament. Now to take advantage of it and get all the way to the NCAAs, to the four-letter tournament. They still have to play Navy to close out at Annapolis. Kevin Herr joins us. We are a mere 32 and a half minutes away from the Kevin Herr rant of the day. Yesterday's week.
Week? I didn't think so. But then again, it was my rant, so I would hope I wouldn't think it was week.
I speak for the masses. Our number, 1-800-795-9565.
Did you get a lot of emails or something?
No. Actually, it was everything I got was on my Twitter account.
Wait, did you say my Twitter account?
Sure, I have a Twitter account.
I see that. That's an interesting... few words to put in the same sentence.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484 and go online to rewfinancial.com.
You wouldn't know a tweet if you were tripping over it.
I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilscher's General Store. Go to www.hilscherstore.com. We'll now call out on that to my broadcast partner for the last 9 years on the Penn State Sports Network, Dick Girardi. And DJ, you chart possessions all the time, points per possession. Very important to you. Same to me. How ridiculous did last night get?
Historic, certainly for this Penn State team, and really probably any in memory, Steve. How about 1.22 points per possession last night against Michigan? There were 69 possessions in the game, 84 points. It's a team that has struggled for a long time to get into the 50s, and 60 was like a miracle. These last four games have just been so much better, and the one period that we talked about earlier today, Penn State was down 66-51, 10.5 minutes to go in the game. The next 6.5 minutes, they had 10 offensive possessions. They scored on every single one of them. 25 points in 10 possessions. When it was over, they led 76-74.
Right. I mean, 2.5 points a possession. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the most you can get is 30.
Right.
Out of 10 possessions. That's if you make 10 threes.
Right.
Right? Or maybe technically more if you get a 3-point shot. But you can't really do much better than what they did. And just to show you how well they were going, one possession, Jermaine Marshall missed two free throws. They got the rebound, got it back to Jermaine, and he had a three. So
right.
That's when you know you're going good. And, boy, that was just beautiful basketball to watch. In that period, they got the lead, and then they just stubbornly wouldn't give it up. I mean, they just that was just a game they deserved to win, and they weren't going to lose.
I mean, just for a slice of perspective so people understand, when Penn State went to Purdue in January and played that game, or late January, it was 0.67 points per possession.
Correct. That was the longest day in history, as I recall. It was a noon game at Purdue, and you meet Jeff and Sez end up getting back at midnight.
Yeah.
From Pittsburgh in a car, and we were ahead of the team.
Yeah.
That was the day they were 12 for 46 for 26%, had 14 turnovers, and as you just pointed out, 63 possessions, got 42 points, which is 0.67. So they almost doubled in this game. And that tells you how much better they've gotten, certainly in the last four games offensively, and mostly due to Sasha's improvement and the three-point shooting improvement. And obviously last night Ross Travis was tremendous. He had the best game of his young career.
There have been points where you and I have commented that the court seemed tight for this team, very close quarters. Patrick Chambers has worked very hard to open up the court. Now, you have to hit the shot, but just by opening up the court, what has that meant?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just given people freedom to operate off the bounce, which certainly Jermaine did really effectively and DJ did last night. And the fact that Sasha's become an offensive threat means you actually have to guard Penn State's five-man. And for a long time, other teams were using their defensive big man as basically a spy on the quarterback, for want of a better term. And whenever one of Penn State's ball handlers would drive around, they were just somebody who was waiting for him. Now all of a sudden, everybody's sort of got to guard their own man, and you create some switches. And they're getting better quality three-point shots, and they're making them. Look, they missed a lot of open threes earlier in the season. I think the quality of shots, Steve, lately has been even better. And they're getting confident. I mean, here's a team that we actually did this during the game last night. That we put it on the air. I didn't realize how silly it was, but I did it. First 11 Big Ten games, they made 44 threes. And the last four, they've made 32. I mean, that's just you don't see that kind of turnaround. Maybe in early January you might see it, but you normally don't see it in late February. And this team has just gotten a lot better. And finally, they got rewarded with something in the left-hand column last night.
We've now seen Michigan twice in person this year. What are your thoughts on them, regardless of the fact they were playing Penn State?
Yeah, I think Brian Daly made a great point. We were talking prior to him coming on in the post game, and I guess I sort of thought of it, but not obviously to the extent he had. Their big men, they got a couple problems with their big men. One, they don't block shots, so you can get to the rim against them, which Penn State did all night long.
Yeah.
And secondly, they don't make free throws. So they're really kind of a liability at the end of games, and that's going to hurt them in a tournament. They're going to get a high seed. They could be vulnerable for that reason. Now, offensively, they're terrific. I mean, they're one of the best five teams in the country on offense. But defense, I think it might be personnel as much as commitment. And I wouldn't be shocked to see John Beilein at some point go back to that 1-3-1 zone.
Right.
Because I think his individuals, he just has individuals that are not great defenders. And collectively, because they're so young, and we talked about that on a broadcast, people don't realize how many freshmen they're running out there.
Right.
They missed fundamental stuff like just not knowing when to help. I mean, the DJ Newbill drive from the side court to the rim never should have happened. I mean, John Beilein was screaming at his freshman shooter after that because he had an hour. Sauce could get over there, and he never did. It's crazy.
And not only that, in a 1-3-1, they have personnel to do that because when you're 1-3-1, Dick, you want length across the three area. And with Glenn Robinson III and Tim Hardaway, he has length and wingspan.
Yeah, I wonder if Cal's not going to think that because he's a really smart guy, and he obviously knows what these numbers are, and he knows what his recent defensive numbers have been, and they're not very good. So I wonder if he's not going to go back and say, hey, we got to change something here because what they have now. I think a lot of people just figure, well, look, it's a product of the schedule, and that's fair because they had that gauntlet. But it's been going on for quite a while now. I thought maybe Morgan was the answer, but he is
Right.
And I like him. Yeah. But he isn't the answer to that problem. I think it's a little bigger than him. I mean, Penn State was, Steve, they were beating guys off the bounce all night long. I mean, all night long. And it's not like you're going against, say, like the team they played Saturday, where they guys got guys in there who can block shots.
Right.
They don't. Michigan does not have shot blockers.
We, of course, live in this internet Twitter world. And because of that, players are very, very aware of where they are in that Twitter world. The players are very well aware, Michigan was, that they were on the one seed line yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The team's first four in, first four out, that is documented every single day. All those teams and players know. Do you think that affects play?
For some teams, sure. I think so. Look, it's human nature to take a look and see where you stand in a thing like the NCAA tournament. And I think for some teams, it can affect you. I think other teams probably pay no attention to it, or players, and that's probably the better way to do it, because it's a big picture thing, and you just got to worry about the next picture. I mean, every coach, we've heard it a million times, about the next game. Then all of a sudden you look up and all the games are over, and then you figure out where you are and where you're going. But if you try to think about where you might be going before you get there, you may never get there.
And that's what you wonder at this point with some teams. There's going to be named a number one overall seed in the tournament, Dick. They have to. It's the part of the process.
Right. Good luck.
All right. But there isn't one.
Right.
In terms of wide open, some years you feel like maybe they're 8 to 10, some years more than that. How many teams fit into the possibility right now in your mind that can actually win this thing?
Yeah, more than in memory. Look, last year when the tournament started, one team could win, and that team won.
No doubt.
We all knew who it was. Yeah, it was easy. It just wasn't. If they hadn't won, it would have been a complete shock with Kentucky. Yeah, this year, it's funny. Every time a team, you say, all right, they're ready. Like we were thinking maybe Indiana was getting there. And then Minnesota just bullies them on Monday night and says, no, you're not there, or whatever night it was, Tuesday night, I'm losing track of the date. Says, you're not there. So, yeah, Steve, I'm not even sure you could put a number on it, and I'm not sure I could put the teams inside that number.
Right.
Like, who are they? There's the possibility, probably more so than at any time in recent memory, a school like Butler could not only get to the championship game but actually win it, because there isn't that team that's sitting there that you can't beat. That team isn't in this tournament. Everybody in this tournament is beatable on the right night.
And it's amazing how dramatically that has turned, because you're right. Last year there was one team and one team only. And in fact, that team was never threatened. I don't care if Vanderbilt, I know, you know, Kevin's a great guy, because, and he did a great job with Vandy last year. And talked to him about it a couple times last summer when he was up here. But Kentucky was the team start to finish, and they weren't threatened throughout the course of the thing. This time, every single game, you're looking around saying, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Kentucky came within a couple of possessions of going undefeated last year.
Sure.
They lost on a last-second shot at Indiana, and then the Vanderbilt beat them in SEC title game. And they'd have a lot of other close games. I just don't think you can get a handle on it. Even inside the Big Ten, you thought there was a pecking order, and yeah. Now you're looking around and you go, maybe there is.
Well, the team that might win, it's Wisconsin.
Exactly, and there's no possible way you could have imagined that. And they're doing it. They're doing it because of defense. I mean, their points per possession on defense in the league are ridiculous. They're first in the league. And it's not. And keep in mind, that factors out how few possessions they are. They're just defending each possession so well. And it's just a tribute to Bo Ryan. I mean, he just figures out his personnel every year and amps it up in that way to make sure to emphasize whatever they do really well. And talent-wise, they're not in the top five.
No.
But in the standings, they got a chance to win the championship again.
I got to wonder if he could take you, me, and Willie and be competitive. Of course, he'd have you with the jump hook on the block.
That's true. Now, I mean, Bo is an amazing character. And it seems like 100 years ago when we were in Madison, it was freezing, and we'll see him here a week from Sunday in the regular season finale. And I didn't really like them when we saw them out there.
No.
I thought they were okay, but they've just gotten better and better.
I mean, exactly right. Yeah, there's certain guys. Look, we're big Bergeron guys. We're, you know, Brusewitz, you know. I mean, Mike just, you know, he may foul nine times in the game, but, you know, six of them nobody notices. But, you know.
And Bo lost his point guard.
Yeah, no point guard. Josh Gosser's out.
Never played.
And he's still and he's in the thick of it right now.
Yeah, I think at some point somebody's got to go up to Springfield and put his name in nomination for the Hall of Fame. I mean, if you just look at his numbers through his career, and
he's and won everywhere.
And now, yeah, and Wisconsin, you know this because you've done the Big Ten. I know Dick Bennett took that team to the Final Four. Wisconsin basketball was a joke for 100 years until he got there.
From 1941, when they won the national title, up until the early 90s when Stu Jackson got there, Wisconsin was the team you could not wait to get into your building. And then when Dick Bennett got there, then they did the ball on wood thing. That's when they achieved success, got to the Final Four. But what Bo Ryan has done in the last 11 dozen years there is absolutely remarkable, because I'm sorry, you're not going to sit there and say, you know, when it comes to recruiting havens, Wisconsin.
No, right. And out of all the players he's had, who are the NBA players? Devin Harris.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Kirk Penny may have been for a minute. And Alondo Tucker maybe for a little bit.
I mean, but guys that like stayed in the league.
Yeah. I mean Devin Harris, the only guy that stayed in the league.
Yeah. Now the system wins. Fun about the each night you see something else.
My man, I will see you later at Damon's tonight.
I'll be there.
Yeah, you know. Maybe we ought to bring the coach over, too.
I think so. I was thrilled with Patrick last night.
Yeah, we really were.
And all the coaches and the players, because when you work that hard, you need to get a reward. They finally got one.
My man, always a pleasure.
You got it. All right, Steve.
Okay, pal. All right. Dick Girardi. I'll be seeing him over at Damon's in about an hour and a half. Are you going to be there?
Are you buying the ribs? If that's
the
case,
it's on Learfield.
I'm flying.
It's on Learfield.
Oh, well, in that case.
Learfield. Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 1-800-609-9484, or online at rewfinancial.com. Kevin Herr rant of the day. Coming up, it's only 17 minutes away on News Radio 1070 WKO, guys.
Rebound, Barovniak corrals it. Penn State has it. He is fouled by Morgan with 14.8 seconds to go. And now the building begins to sense it. They are moving toward the floor.
5 minutes ago when I suggested this was possible, we've seen court stormings everywhere. 15 seconds from a court storming in University Park.
Sasha hits it. It's good. 84-78.
No fouls.
Burke up the floor. 10 seconds.
No threes.
40-foot three, Burke. It's no good. Rebound by Marshall. 7 seconds to go. That's it. The Nittany Lions have done it. They have knocked off fourth-ranked Michigan, and they storm the floor at the George Center, and justifiably so. Number four is gone.
Disco Inferno?
You like that? I thought it was pretty good myself.
Disco Inferno. Really,
it was in the whole call was in fuego, to coin a phrase.
I see. Well, obviously, games like that are a lot of fun. It was a great night for Penn State, and a great night for Patrick Chambers and his kids, and Keith Urgo, and Brian Daly, and Gene Burrows, and Ross Condon, and Adam Fisher. It was a great night for the program. But so
I have to share this real quick, though, Steve, if I can, before we go to news. Yesterday, I said to Steve, after the show was over, I said, now, give me your real critique, because that's the only way you get better. And Steve said, one thing that I would suggest is, where was he on the court when he took the three? And that's the one thing I heard last night, and I had to laugh to myself for a 40-foot three. I'm like, well, he remembered what he told me.
Well, I mean, it was unbelievable. He was just he was maybe 7 or 8 feet in, beyond the half court line. Just it fired one up. I mean, he took that shot, and I was like, "They're cooked." I mean, that's the first thing I thought was he took that shot, and I said, "They're cooked."
Now, see me, I would have had him take that shot somewhere from Altoona.
There were two shots, and that shot, that's an end-of-the-game shot, so it doesn't matter, okay? There were shots that told me that they were mentally out of sync. When it's in the thick of it, Spike Albrecht got the ball in the corner, and he took a three. He's taken 19 of them all year. Why? I thought, well, why are you taking the shot? Then there was the other one, which was about 28 seconds to go, where they swung the ball and got Glenn Robinson the third, a wide-open three. You can't handpick a better guy that you want as the opposition taking the three. Been two of his last 13 before that shot from outside the arc. So, yeah, you want him shooting that shot.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Go online to rewfinancial.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Nice, warm, and cozy. Before I head over to Damon's at about, I'll probably go over there in about an hour. For the Penn State basketball show with Patrick Chambers. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsters General Store. Located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always go to www.hilstersstore.com. And on the Hilsters General Store hotline is Dave in Sunbury. Dave, welcome back. It's nice to hear from you. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, Steve. One quick question.
Sir.
Is Kevin, is the little character rubbing off on you?
You know, is Maxwell? Kevin's character rubbing off on
you? I think he's referring to your Maxwell.
Yeah, we.
I don't think I didn't hear a wee anywhere. I don't think I did. Anyway.
No wee in there.
No,
I have never once referred to Penn State on the radio. One time in my life is we. The only time I've ever referred to we on the air is if I'm talking about Jack Ham and me or Dick Girardi and me or the broadcast team. That's the only time I ever referred to as we, because when it comes to the teams, I've always referred to them as Penn State or the Nittany Lions. I've never done that. I've never done the we, us, or them thing. It's just not in my character. I've never done it, Dave. I mean, and that's Well, there's a difference between enthusiasm for the moment and capturing the moment. Capturing the moment with excitement. You just beat the fourth ranked team in the country. That's what the team you just watched. They beat the fourth ranked team in the country. That entered the day at the number one line in the NCAA tournament. Not an insignificant moment when you're 197 in the RPI. I mean, it is an incredibly significant moment that you do that on the next to last day of February. It's not like they did it in the first week of January. Let me put it this way, Dave. There's a reason that game led SportsCenter last night. Okay?
Yeah.
Because Lenardi's bracket's a mess now.
But it led SportsCenter because it was a significant upset in college basketball. That's why people love sports a lot. They love sports. And every time I try to tell them about the value, especially in this area of men's basketball, whether it be profit or whatever, and I said having successful men's basketball is important. Last night was it. You can win all the championships you want in so many other sports that people around here love and enjoy. Okay?
Yeah.
But a men's basketball team knocks off the fourth-ranked team in the country at Leeds SportsCenter, and those other sports, no matter despite deserved success, don't make it to SportsCenter. And there's a reason for that, and that's because of mass national appeal.
This is true.
And that is not in any way a put-down of any other sport, because we love those sports. Nothing but the highest respect. They deserve to get more publicity. I'm just telling everyone what the reality is.
I got home from church and turned the radio on, and you guys are just finishing up.
Well, I hope you prayed for Kevin. All right.
With that one.
Somebody has to, you know? That's all there is to it. Somebody has to.
Everybody, get down on your knees for Kevin Herr. Well, time now, after yesterday's very weak effort, the Kevin Herr rant of the day.
I didn't think yesterday was weak. But anyway, we'll see if we can pick up the pace today.
Even Peter looked at me. What was that about?
Peter looks at you all the time when I say stuff like that, wonder what it's about. Even when I'm in studio with him, Peter, here, he looks at me and wonders what that's all about.
Buhner's a normal guy.
Well, the point I was trying to make was, we're making a big deal about something that there's no corroboration for right now. It's like, how did it get on every single website and story before anybody has any details? That's the scary part. All right, that was yesterday. Now today. Today I go to the Phillies, who are rumored to be thinking of a fire sale on February 28th for right before the trade deadline in July. Now, What does that say to your fan base, who, by the way, aren't really buying a whole lot of tickets right now? There are about 500,000 seats, down about 2.6 million from the last year. That's down about 500,000 seats. I mean, hey, listen, there's a serious problem there. It's called the fans are getting nervous. And when you have rumors coming out that you're in the middle of or thinking of a fire sale, if you're not in the hunt come July, that's not going to get people in the seats very fast. Listen, the two bobblehead giveaway days from last year were some of the best-selling ones. This year, they have a Cole Hamels, Carlos Ruiz bobblehead. And by the way, you could still get tickets for either one. By the way, there is also a possibility that Carlos Ruiz may not be playing for that day when his bobblehead's available. But that's a whole other story. But sitting there and then and having rumors come out that you're thinking about a fire sale for July and February and that some veterans may go, that's not going to get people in the seats anytime soon. And it doesn't give you any comfort as a Phillies fan that this team is going to be competitive if management doesn't think it's competitive.
There are only rumors.
I realize that. But let's face it, the Phillies have a lot of money sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, what, $150 million?
Mm-hmm.
So they've already talked about shopping some young guys.
Here's my biggest concern. Okay, when it comes to fire sales, all right?
All right.
And I think I speak loud and clear for Mark Lawrence on this. Lawrence in the building?
No, I don't think so. He's taking his nap.
Hey, Mark Lawrence, Drew Kelly, Sean Carey, and I strongly feel this way. I mean, we're all on the same page about this. The only fire sale we're concerned about is if Roger has a fire sale.
I knew that was coming.
That's all we care about. I mean, really. In the end, I mean, you know, that's what it comes out to.
It's February. How do rumors like that get started, and why do you let them start in February? There's already no comfort for Phillies fans right now.
Okay, can I?
Yes.
Can I delve into something for a moment here?
Please do.
And that is the national talk show radio culture.
Which we're a part of, by the way.
No, we're not, okay? We're not a part of the culture. In some ways, I think, in my opinion, we are not 180 of it, but maybe 90 degrees of the national sports talk culture. they like talking about juicy items such as these. We don't know where a rumor starts. We don't even know if it's reality. We try to stick as often as we can to fact, or if it's opinion based on people who are observers. Let's look at the guests we've had this week. Joe Lunardi. Now, Joe Lunardi was not brought on the show because he's going to throw darts into the wind. When I was talking to Joe Lunardi yesterday, Joe Lunardi, whom we've had on before, there are 68 teams in the tournament. He usually gets 65 to 67 of them correct. And I don't mean just getting them correct that he got them in the field, but he seeded them right. So when we bring him on the show, we're bringing on somebody who has a track record of accuracy. It didn't happen once or twice. It's happened repeatedly year to year. Now, he's on the national shows as well, but we bring him on. Dan Dockage today, same thing. Gives opinions, but their opinions informed, intelligent. You know, we may disagree or agree, whatever. Dick Girardi, same thing. Tim Neverett, the Pirates announcer, information guests. When we have Wheels on, right? We try to get a lot of information on the show. You know, some from a national perspective, some from a local perspective. So much of this stuff is talk show fodder. And we have to do a better job if we're going to do a good job for the fans. Then instead of throwing out juicy topics that have no merit to them, that are going to attract people, why don't you attract people with knowledge? Why don't you attract people with information? Why don't you make people feel that when the show is over with or the segment is over with, that they learn something more about it? And say, you know, I'm going to listen tomorrow because who knows who they're going to have on tomorrow. Okay? And I think you know, like something like that to go with your rant, okay, that it's disconcerting to Phillies fans to hear this. Now, okay, so your rant aside, this has nothing to do with your rant.
Okay.
Right. This has to do with who said they're going to have a fire sale. Which member of the Phillies organization said they're going to have a fire sale?
According to unnamed sources.
Unnamed sources.
There honestly was no source in the story that I read.
Right. Okay. Now, maybe it is true. I'm not saying it's not true.
I understand. Yep.
But we don't know if it's true or not true. It's just a guess. Tomorrow we're going to have Mike DeCourcy on the show. One of the great basketball minds out there. Same thing with Dockage, same thing with DJ, same thing with Lunardi. It's been that kind of week for us. We've had, I think, I think the show has had a pretty good week this week. In fact, we've had a couple good months. I think Bill O'Brien coming on the show to talk about his return to Penn State and saying no to the NFL, I think, was one of those, points in time where people went, wow. And then, we've followed up with some wow after that, from Tim Brando to today with Dockage and DJ. Okay. But those are information things. Okay. Information interviews. Talk about them. I'm going to do one with Patrick Chambers coming up. Not perfect. I don't, Matt. You know, my goodness. I wish I could conduct perfect interviews and ask perfect questions and so forth. But I think we do pretty well with what we do. Rumor and innuendo never lights me up, even though those are kind of cool topics that get people, hey, did you hear? And yet nobody knows if it's right. Now, if you get a rumor and you substantiate it and then you run with it, that's a different story. It's a different story. For example, like the Maryland Rutgers into the Big Ten thing. He broke that story. Turned out, boy, he was dead on, wasn't he?
Want to know what the B rant was for the day?
What was B?
Tiger Woods shoots an even par 70 in the first round of the Honda Classic.
I know.
That's great. Who's leading?
Five shots off the pace.
Who is leading?
I know.
That's all I'm asking. I did find out that Rory McIlroy, though, is in the tournament. Uh-huh. They don't really say where he's at, but, you know.
Right. He's playing, yeah.
But we've beat that horse a lot on this program, so I decided to skip one.
Every time Tiger Woods plays, you should mention what his score is.
Agreed.
Okay. Every time. Because fans are interested to know where he is. But to do the story and say, Tiger shoots even par, and then you're like, well, who the hell's winning? Is even par winning? Oh, you mean he's five shots back? I mean, tell me what Tiger did. Great, because he's the single most interesting, captivating figure in the tournament. But very quickly, tell me who is actually winning, and maybe tell me how far back he is. How about that?
5 under is the answer. It's a South African fallback Canadian. No, I know you do. Yeah. But I'm just saying the other reason is I think it's Brandon Grace of South Africa is leading. There's a Canadian in second, and that's why you don't hear it. Because there's no interest there, I guess, from the reporting standpoint.
Right. See, that's what's always bothered me about, say, watching golf highlights. Okay. Do not mind at all that they show Tiger Woods highlights regardless of where he finished. Okay? Again, he's the single most interesting, captivating figure, plus or minus, on the PGA Tour. All right? I mean, people who don't like him want to know what he did, and people who do like him, and there are plenty of them, want to know how he did. All right? But when I see a highlight package that shows 5 to 8 shots of Tiger Woods and shows me 2 or 3 of the winner, I'm like, what? Show me 2 or 3 of Tiger shots and 5 to 8 of the winner as to why he won.
Now, I will go ahead. I'm going to let you finish. Sorry.
No, I'm done.
Well, no, I will say this. This I do find interesting. Tiger actually played a shot out of the marsh today, basically changed his clothes on course, by putting some rain gear on and played it out of the marsh. Now, that is an interesting story.
Yes, it is.
Because that's something I would do to try and save a penalty stroke. It would cost me
jumping up and down over the 17th hole at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, aren't you?
You just can't let that go, can you? It's the one hole I played well.
I mean, I hit the ball in the water. And you're jumping up and down on the tee.
I did not. No. No. That's not correct.
I'm looking around.
I did not jump up and down.
I'm looking around like we're on the same team.
I did not jump up and down.
Don't you want me to put it out there about 250 to 300 so we were prepped?
No, because I was already out there 250, 300. We hadn't used my shot all day, it felt like. No, I did not jump up and down. I did pump my fist and quietly whisper, yes, we're using my shot. Took it so personally.
Took it personally.
And that and the fact that was the only ball you lost all day, okay? And I had already lost 5 that day. So, yes, there was a little bit of happiness in me at that moment when your Tony the Tiger ball took a drink.
Yeah, the Kellogg's guys gave me those. Seriously, the Kellogg's guys gave me those. Then they sent me a whole bunch of stuff, too. It was great.
I think I bought it the other day in Rummage Ball.
Did you?
Somebody fished it out.
I told you. I said, I just lined up in such a way where I smacked Tony right across the chops every time. Yeah, the Kellogg's guys. I played a round of golf with them at a charity event one time. And spent 2 days with them, and they were really cool. They were really good. They're actually from Connecticut, very close to where I grew up. Located in Suffield across the river from where I grew up in Enfield. And, in fact, Jack Root, Suffield. Did you know that?
I think you did tell me that.
Yes. Your man, Root. When are we going to get him on the show?
He has said he will be on the show. We're working on dates, actually, just to see what coordinates well with his schedule.
Well done. I like it. All right. Can't wait for tomorrow's rant.
See, rumor, innuendo, speculation. See, I know you're the voice of the fan. I do understand that completely. And you play the role extremely well, by the way.
Thanks, I think.
No, you're very passionate. And I mean, I love it. I love the balance in the show. I mean, you bring a real voice of the fan balance to the show. I think it's cool. Yeah. And then you feel like I destroy your dreams.
Every day for the last year. All right, go to the break.
Time for a break. Back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I really need a used car.
Sunbury Motors has lots full of used cars.
But it has to be a good used car.
Well, they're not good.
What?
They're great. Sunbury Motors has over 300 used vehicles to choose from. Cars, SUVs, and trucks so good, we wouldn't sell them if we wouldn't drive them. That's probably why we consistently sell over 200 cars a month. And when it comes to new, Sunbury Motors is the largest Ford dealership in the central Susquehanna Valley. Sunbury Motors makes buying a new car easy with a huge inventory and lots of choices.
And I'm a smart shopper, and I know what the price should be for the car I want.
Well, here at Sunbury Motors, you get our lowest price promise. We research prices on used cars so much that if you find a better deal, we'll beat it. That's a promise. So here's your keys.
Thanks.
Take a test drive today at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and our Kia dealerships at Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Shop 24/7 and see our inventory at sunburymotors.com. That's sunburymotors.com. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
Hilsa's General Store, located at 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilsastore.com. Check out the bakery, clothing, restaurant, so much more. Bakery, the deli. Incredible.
You know, for years, I didn't realize there was a left-hand side. I just went to the right-hand side and went right back to the bakery and the deli. And then I found out they have a whole hardware store on the left-hand side. That was a nice little
entire addition. Hardware store. You better believe it. The place to go. Rick Weibel, REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call, 800-609-9484, or online at rewfinancial.com. Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. You are the hit of Shikellamy Area High School. They are downloading the Kevin Herr call left and right on cell phones. It's true. True story. The final call of the game. They were downloading it on cell phones and playing it back in school all day.
It was the only time they were allowed to use cell phones in school and not get in trouble for it.
You are a sensation.
I was just happy to be there and looking forward to being there again on Saturday. It's been since 1979 that the Braves have won a District 4 championship, and they'll have another shot. Second year in a row, they've been in the finals, too.
Yes, it is. But the final call of the game, the three-pointer that won it at the wire against a really good Danville team, students at Shikellamy Area High School are downloading it and playing it back. That's a great tribute to you and the work you did the other night.
It's actually my ringtone now.
That may have been more information than I needed. An hour from now, I will join you at Damon's with head coach Patrick Chambers. It's his night to talk about Nittany Lion basketball.